The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
ISTNT, it's that kind of day today, but that's all right. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, and this is The Human Impact. Tusker is my name. And in studio with me, I have Miss Krista Ali, psychologist, and Miss Amber Grant, who is a social worker with the Children's Authority. Just to recap the year and the issues that have been on the forefront for children, especially specifically bullying in schools, and also the work of the Children's Authority and their role. So welcome and good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having us again.
And I know it's an interesting morning, but we will get to that in a minute, especially as it pertains to the children.
Yes.
Right? But this year in particular, we paid more attention to them in terms of their mental health and the presentation of bullying in schools. And I know, Ms. Ali, you were here previously. We were speaking about that. Just to recap, what are some of the things that the Children's Authority want to remind parents as we close off the year?
So what I will say is that at the end of this year, when we look back at the year in child protection, we saw a lot of the same trends that we have been seeing in the 9 years of existence of the authority,
mm-hmm.
where there continues to be a very large number of child abuse cases that's been reported to us. And then on top of that, we still are seeing a lot of incidents in our society,
mm-hmm.
where so much harm is coming to our children. Accidental injuries that's causing death. You know, children being like victims of crime as a bystander.
Mm-hmm.
We just had way too many incidents where children were hurt or children lost their lives throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, you know, one is one too many.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. what we need to do now is take a hard look back at the year in child protection and try to figure out how do we move forward from here. Because there's always something to learn.
Mm-hmm. And always something we could, if not, we missed along the way, you know, we can yeah. revisit and find appropriate plans or solutions for it. In terms of the Christmas season, how has it been with the Children's Authority, Ms. Amber?
Abuse doesn't take a vacation like many of us do. The calls kept coming in. The reports kept coming in. While I can't say for my team there was a reduction per se, that still does not say that a week doesn't go by when we have zero reports coming in.
Mm-hmm.
You have at least 8 reports coming in for at least the Northeast zone. So as I said, abuse doesn't take a vacation. And what we are finding, as Miss Ali, Krista was saying, it triggered in my mind that a lot of our previous ways of raising our children, it's still coming out. So you still have parents talking about, oh, I can leave the children home. One mm-hmm. is 16, one is 12, one is 14. That is a form of abuse because the child is, there's no adult supervision at the home.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of parents still relying on the old way of raising children to raise children in 2024, and that constitutes abuse in its own right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of work on our end to teach parents, teach the grandparents, teach the elders in the society that there are new ways of raising children, and what used to happen before should not be happening again because it's just against the law.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the new ways of parenting, many have, what's the word I'm looking for, argued that what they call gentle parenting is not as effective as what you would call the old style of parenting. How do we find ways of meshing the two? Because there are some old ways that did work,
mm-hmm.
and then there are some ways with gentle parenting probably combined. What do you think about that?
Krista, you want to take
that? So what I want to say, right, is mm-hmm. I want us to take a hard look at where we are as a society mm-hmm. right today,
mm-hmm.
this morning, this very morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I want people out there to tell me if they think what's happening right now is working.
Mm-hmm.
It is very clear that what's happening in Trinidad and Tobago today is not working. Something drastic needs to happen. What I have seen throughout my 10-year career in child protection is that we need to be doing a lot more, where the very fabric of society is what needs to change.
Mm-hmm.
And from there is where we're going to see the ripple effects in terms of reduction in child abuse and you know, just an upliftment in society.
Mm-hmm.
But that starts with the adults.
Mm-hmm.
And that starts with the way that adults are treating each other. And then
how it trickles down to children. Yeah,
I say this on every program, and I'm sure I've said it here before. In Trinidad and Tobago, we do not treat our children very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's very obvious by the numbers of reports that we see every single month. And I will share a very interesting trend that we found over the years. But to come back to what you are originally saying, it's that we need to remember and we need to realize that society today is not society that we lived in 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Or even when I was growing up. It's very different now. So the ways that we need to parent is different.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the legislation that would have existed back then, you know, it's been updated. And it's been updated for the very reason that the world saw that we were not treating children well.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came here, we were talking about Universal Day of the Children. All of these things really were put in place for us to be forced almost to treat our children better.
Mm-hmm.
This is why legislation is in place. So while some people might be thinking that it's okay to leave a 16-year-old at home with their younger siblings, the truth is that that is now against the law, and that is for a particular reason.
Mm-hmm.
We're not putting things in place to keep our children safe, and then accidents happen. But they are quite preventable.
Mm-hmm.
If we really took stock of what is supposed to be happening in terms of not leaving children at home unsupervised, the type of abuse that is mostly reported to the authority, the highest figure of abuse, comes in the form of neglect, which is sort of an umbrella term for various things. And that does include leaving children at home, which we call abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
That can be seen as a form of abandonment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That is closely followed by physical abuse and sexual abuse. And during the past 10 years, now the authority is going to be, we were proclaimed almost 10 years ago. Next May will be our 10-year anniversary. Over the years, I have seen it fluctuate where physical abuse might have been the highest at one point. Sexual abuse was the highest at one point. But I will say consistently since the pandemic, neglect continues to be the highest number of reports that we receive.
Mm-hmm.
And that really speaks to how we see our children and what we do with our children.
And what roles you give to the children probably before time. Because
correct.
The 16-year-old situation that you just put forward where that child is taking care of younger siblings or younger
yeah.
children, it's the term parentified.
Parentification. Mm-hmm.
Right? So they have to make sure that the children eat, that they're inside. Basically taking care of them, make sure that they bathe and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of it, what about babysitting? Can you know some kids actually make money off of, you know, being a babysitter? What are some of the parameters looking at the social structure that we do have where parents can't find proper childcare and have to rely on these elder children to look after? How do we navigate through that?
It's a matter of balance, and it's a matter of what is acceptable via the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that using a 16-year-old as your primary source of supervision for your child is a no,
mm-hmm.
most definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do have child labor laws in place as well, where even though children might be wanting, teenagers might be wanting to babysit, this cannot happen if you are below the age of 16 and cannot cannot pass a certain number
okay,
of hours.
Okay, so there are mm-hmm.
there's
parameters for that. Right, okay.
Parameters. Now, the thing is, if we are going to take a chance and leave a 16-year-old to supervise some younger children, we need to be mindful of how many children is this child supervising, because that's a child at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And how long is it going to be? And what measures have we put in place within the household or wherever that they are supervising these children to ensure their safety?
Mm-hmm.
Because what we find, and this is why we discourage this type of things, is that too many accidents are happening.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking a chance and then an accident happens.
Right.
And then it's detrimental. And, you know, I was thinking about this just the other day, where over the course of this year, we have seen very sad circumstances or tragic circumstances of children losing their lives. Let's say drowning in pools, drowning at the beach,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Drinking toxic substances right there
fires
where people are
home.
Around. Fires in the home.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, right, those are sad, tragic circumstances, and we feel empathy for those families. Mm-hmm. But some of these things are
preventable.
They are preventable, and they do constitute neglect, mm-hmm. which warrants a police investigation. Mm-hmm. And I look at the media response. The public response to that is always, these people have suffered enough.
Mm-hmm.
But
ease up on the criticism. Yeah. You don't know what was happening in the house at the time. Now, from the perspective as a social worker, understanding what's happening at that point in time in the home, how in depth does the study go? The questions. How easy or hard is your job? Basically, that's what I'm asking.
So, as I tell the team, you ask everything,
mm-hmm.
everything that can come to your mind. So, if we are looking at, let's say it's a matter of neglect. We are getting a report. These children are home all the time. In fact, I got an email this morning. Mm. Three children are home alone. And it means, who do you have? Who's your support system to help? So if you have to go to work, the children are home, let's say, state of emergency, because that is on everybody's tongue
right
now.
Don't worry, we will talk about that in a minute.
And
yep.
Schools are out.
Mm-hmm.
But parents still have to work, right? Who do we have at home to supervise? Is it that the children are going to come with you to work? Mm. Sometimes that is not possible. Who do you have at home to assist you with supervising? There must be a granny, a nanny, a nene, a tante, somebody somewhere.
A neighbor or something.
Or a neighbor that you trust, right? And that is what we keep telling our parents. Don't tell me you're leaving the children and the neighbor will throw an eye. Because by the time the men jump in the house, by the time the neighbor throw the eye, she doesn't know what is going on in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Or by the time the neighbor throws the eye, the place is already aflamed.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So those are the kind of questions we ask our parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it that you could afford a babysitter? So, of course, we do a lot of financial inquiries as well to determine that, yes, the household can sufficiently and properly supervise and provide for the children or child that is in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask a lot of questions. It is sometimes people do tell us, you know, you're asking me everything except...
Mm-hmm.
What underwear wearing? Unfortunately,
and
but
they will get upset by those invasive questions.
Yes, it is very invasive.
But the thing is to ascertain what situation you're
and
really
how
in.
How we can assist,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if you may be struggling financially, we may do hampers. We do hampers every Christmas for our clients.
Mm-hmm.
It may be we giving you a hamper, or we put you onto other agencies that can assist. Whether it's for a grant, we know all the gamut of grants that the government gives. We could do referrals accordingly for you to be for you to try and qualify for the grants that the government give. It's just a way of us trying to assist the family to ensure that everything is good and the children are protected.
Now, that process can be a lengthy process.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
What would you say as a social worker is needed for you to effectively... She laughs. like that was a very big question.
Because I'm asked that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The social system, I'm not going to lie, is fractured. Mm-hmm. Our social services is fractured. And this is my opinion, not necessarily that of the Children's Authority. But mm-hmm. if more money is pumped in the social services... We would not be having a SOE.
I've been saying that for
and
a while.
Every budget, yeah. You wouldn't be seeing national security is getting millions and billions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
and social services is getting pittance. It's mm-hmm. very, very difficult. So yes, the government gives grants, but eventually, how many people? So if 20,000 people need assistance.
Yeah,
we don't have 20,000 grants to give out.
And it's very telling that 20,000 people need assistance and can't seem to do it on their own.
Correct.
You know, so that
many
is a...
people are below the poverty line, you know, getting minimum wage, or some are not even getting minimum wage. That is a reality.
Mm-hmm. Now, as it pertains to what's on the tongue this morning, the SOE, another confinement, how does the Children Authority prepare for a situation like this? What's going to be like the mode of operation for this period?
It will be to wait until, you know, we actually mm-hmm. have the facts of what this SOE is going to
look
embody,
like.
What is it going to, and we will strategize in terms of what can we implement to assist.
Mm-hmm.
So I do remember that there was a time when, you know, we had a curfew, mm-hmm. and And again, it might be a situation where we have our children at home and persons need to leave the home to work. So from there, we will really pump our resources and energies into reminders about the law and how we can put things in place to ensure that our children remain safe during this very, very difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, though, what we're seeing in our society today with all of this violence and this trauma, all of this really feeds into the state of what's happening with our kids these days. And I do know that we are here this morning as well to talk about bullying and suicide prevention as well. What we don't realize, and I think what the public doesn't realize, is that firsthand violence, the type of crime and violence that we're seeing, has so many effects.
Mm-hmm.
The secondary effects of that is where our children are witnessing a lot of violence. And the tertiary, what we call tertiary violence, is that how does that become ingrained in our children and what does that look like in society?
Mm-hmm.
And people don't even realize that this is why we're seeing so much bullying in our schools. For one, our children are becoming exceptionally desensitized to these type of situations. Mm-hmm. Where crime and violence is something that is so normal, we grow up feeling like it's just a part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Bullying, being aggressive, responding in this type of way is just a part of everyday life.
It's expected.
It's yeah.
And behaviors are learned.
Mm-hmm. And behaviors are learned. Definitely yeah. learned. And then they practice what it is they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are desensitized and then you believe that being violent is a way to deal with your problems, then that's going to show up in our children's behaviors in school.
Mm-hmm.
School today is so very different than it was when you were growing up.
Even when my daughter was growing up, it's a space of, let's say, 5-10 years
mm-hmm.
leaving the school system to now.
It's yeah. progressively getting worse, where children have absolutely no respect for adults anymore. They're very callous in the way that they behave, and they don't understand the consequences and the magnitude of their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to remind parents, particularly during this time where things are so much in upheaval, to remain in contact with our children and have that open communication with them to find out what exactly is going on. Parents also need to be very much aware of what are the ways, what are the places to turn to when I do need assistance,
right?
So as Amber was talking about just now, in terms of resources that we have, resource mobilization is one of the things that we at the authority do, where we try to connect persons with the relevant social services units and grants and all of these type of things that are out there, and that is a lengthy process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we want people to understand as well, is that we are here to try to help. So even though it might seem like we're invading your privacy, it's for a purpose, and that purpose is to help. You know, what we also try to do is empower, so mm-hmm. that we can tell people this is where you go to figure this and that out, and then allow them the opportunity to do something for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we don't want, and what we do see a lot of, is people who, one, don't help themselves, or two, don't know how to help themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we do see a lot of trends in terms of where children had children and then children had more children.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know where to turn. They're really just out there on their own with nobody assisting.
And as you said, just repeating the cycle
yeah.
over
yes.
and over again. Right.
So, you know, part of what we do is try to help break that cycle. And, you know, if we are able to empower persons to do these things for themselves, then it's a reduction on the amount or the actual hand-holding that we, mm-hmm. as the social workers and the field officers, that we need to do with the public. And that just helps us to become a more empowered society.
What you would have to say to those who would mention or cast a negative light on the assistance that you're talking about as dependency, or you're making them depend on all your, this dependency syndrome need to stop.
Yeah.
What would you have to say to that?
What we're trying to do is the opposite of that, by empowering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can't be looking at it like that, where we're going and we're trying to assist. That's one form, but we're not doing the hand-holding. We do a referral and it's there, but you need to take the next steps necessary to ensure that these things, that it becomes fruitful.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that you take a good hold of the opportunity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we try to do. We try to empower. So it's not at all that we try to encourage dependencies, that we try to help children. And if one of the ways is that we have to handhold somebody to the office to register a birth, which mm-hmm. I've seen some of the social workers having to do,
mm-hmm.
then that's what we will do in that particular instance. But then that person knows what to do next time.
Yeah. Yeah. From the perspective of all these children going back into a confined space, well, we're still waiting on details, right, TNT? But let's hypothetically say that it goes into that type of situation. What are some of the signs that parents can look out for if it is that they suspect that their child may not be dealing with the situation well mentally, leading to suicide prevention, etc.? What would be some of the signs?
Oh my gosh, I'm fully being reminded of what was going on during the pandemic. So that first couple of years of the pandemic when our children were home, we actually did see a significant uptick in the number of suicidal ideation cases that we were seeing at the authority. And that directly was caused by children being very much confined. So it's a matter of, you know, trying to figure out ways to have our children play outside just a little bit, have some free time outside just a little bit, and, you know, put measures in place for them to be engaged. Our children really need a lot of stimulation during this time as well. And things are going to happen at home. They're going to be there with their siblings. It's going to be, you know, like, it'll be like school vacation times 10, right? Where there's no end in sight, because at least with vacation, you know that there's a start date.
For school would have been this week.
Yes.
Right?
Yes,
so we are up in arms now.
It's not next week.
It's Monday.
It's Monday. Yeah. Right? There are a lot of parents as well who are just looking forward to sending children back to school because I'm fed up all your home.
The noise, my
entire kitchen.
And noise.
Yeah, because they have the toys and all of that. How do you prepare parents for that as well?
That's what I was now going to say. We need to look at it from the parents first. Because how you behave and how you react and what you do during this time is going to directly set a tone for what's happening in your family. So first, take your time. Grieve.
They might be home. Might. Yeah. I have to be careful. Might be in
there. Really take your time. And remember that, you know, what you see in front of your children is going to directly impact them. So what I was actually going to say earlier is that one of the biggest forms of bullying that we see happens within the household, which is why our children don't know where to turn to when they're being bullied in school as well. We have a culture of demeaning our children. We have a culture of speaking to them in a manner that is absolutely deplorable and disrespectful. And that significantly affects children's, their self-worth, their self, just everything about their growth and development.
Image, everything.
Everything. And if our children don't feel safe enough within the household to come and say, hey, this is happening with me in school, because they're afraid of the response from the adults in that house, this is where the bullying leads to suicidal ideation and then suicide attempts. I will tell you that we do not often see a child who goes from just, you know, experiencing one incident of distress to attempting suicide very quickly. We might see that in very impulsive children, and with our impulsive children we can tell from before, because there's other incidents of impulsivity. Quite often it's that there is distress in a child, they don't know where to turn to, but suicide will not be the first line of action that they will take. There'll be other things that they might do, and what we will see is a decrease and a decompensation in how they look, their behavior, and all of the things really surrounding that child. So this is what we need to look out for. We need to look out for changes in their behavior, changes in their mood, in their appetite, in the way that they are sleeping, in the way that they are responding to us, and then ask questions, right? With our teenagers, we often say that it's just because of hormones and puberty,
and this
and
is
all
a period
kind of thing.
This is the stage that they
and while that
separate
might be true,
from parents
and while that might be true, we need to also continue being the experts in our children and know when there is a dynamic shift and ask a question rather than brushing it off, because that question that you ask might open up a conversation where things come out, and then we are able to intervene and prevent further harm coming to that child.
Now, in terms of social working side, hypothetically again, if it is that we are going into a situation where we are confined, what are the resources available to the children? Because schooling still has to continue. And I know that was an issue during COVID, being able to make sure that they get the continuation of school. What are some of the resources that you can talk about now so that parents can be aware?
So because we still don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We rely heavily also on our school's social workers, student support services division, and the guidance officers. And I know those that I work closely with did a lot of work, especially during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
When children were on lockdown, they did a lot of sessions with the children online. And I know they are probably mobilizing. Now, I'm sure if I, when I leave here, I can start calling my people and we will all start mobilizing. What can we do? Now, I also know National Family Service also had a counseling hotline that they can call. And I know it didn't go down because I would have referred persons outside of COVID to it and they got through. Those are more or less the services that can be offered. Now, I want to speak to, now we're talking about bullying, we're saying bullying in school, but it doesn't only happen in school. Now, as we rightly said a few minutes ago, bullying is a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
If the child doesn't see you bullying anybody, they will not go and bully anybody, right? Bullying can happen at home, as Krista rightly said, how we speak to our children in a demeaning manner. That is a form of bullying, because verbal bullying is a real thing. So if you're doing that to your child, I remember a client telling me, I can't fight mommy, so I will fight those in school.
Mm.
Right? So I can't attack you. Yeah. So you transfer and I will do it to the person. Because that's what I'm learning. That's what mommy speaks to me. I'm going to speak to somebody else like that. But bullying could happen at home. It can happen in a faith-based organization. It can happen in the community.
Mm.
Anywhere bullying could happen.
Well, no, Trinise is called that teasing.
My son goes to our college, and we noted when he first went in, things weren't going right. And he did say, Mom, the children are saying so by so by so. And I brought it up at a PSG meeting. And you know, one of the alumni told me, Boys will be boys. That's normal thing. And I said, deep with it now, please. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All year passed, coming into Form 2, it continued where it became racist now. So racist comments were being made to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a mama bear and I don't bite easily. So another PSG meeting and a lady got up, her son was in form and said, her son is going through this. And I said, hi, remember me? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the same thing, boys will be boys. We need to stop thinking that boys will be boys, that this is just harmless teasing. No, there are boys that went through that college that are still reaping the effects of bullying when they were there years ago. They still see themselves in a poor light because of what was told to them repeatedly at that said college. And I think persons need to realize that bullying is not a simple teasing, oh, you have funny shoes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It is nasty. It affects the children psychologically.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives them a poor image of themselves. And it affects them years down the road. And persons don't realize that. I mean, I was bullied. When you look at it, I was bullied in school. Mm-hmm. And there are certain things I refuse to accept because of what was told to me. And it's something I have to constantly tell myself, no, that was their image of me. That is not who I am. Mm-hmm. Right? So parents need to realize it's not harmless because it affects children in the long run. It really
does. And we'll say it when it graduates. Because, you know, it starts at one level and it just goes up. Yeah.
Including on the online platforms, which is
our big cyber. I was going to bring that up. Yeah.
Because it can start off in the school or it cannot. It can actually just be on the online platforms where you no longer need to be a bigger individual to be a bully, you know.
Correct.
Because it doesn't only constitute fighting and stuff like we used to see on TV with a bigger bully, you know, taking advantage of the little ones. That's not how it looks anymore. Anybody can be a bully.
Correct.
And the advantage that the bullies have with the online platform is that they're able to rally around the support around them, because when you're a keyboard warrior, as they call them, right, you don't need to actually do anything physically. It's just laughing at a post that they made about somebody else, or making another nasty comment on that post that they made about somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things definitely constitute a new wave of bullying that we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And with our youngsters, this is more avidly the type of abuse and bullying that they're experiencing, where we actually don't see it as the adults, because if an incident happens in school, more than likely you're more likely to hear about it. But when it's almost secrets and it's just on the online platforms and we are not actively monitoring our children's social media, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
you're seeing something going on. So parents also need to be aware that your child's social media is something that you should be monitoring.
Actively monitoring.
Because the thing with suicidal ideation as well is that there's quite often signs. And it might be any type of statuses that your children are posting, the type of content that they're sharing, the type of content that they're looking at, the by the way statements that they make, the things under their breath that you kind of just overhear, asking why they were born, wishing that they were not here. These are quite often things that we see in our children that kind of indicates to us that something a little bit more than just teenage angst or puberty might be happening. So we need to be mindful. I will also just share, though, that sometimes there's absolutely no signs, no major red flag. And this is why we need to maintain active lines of communication with our children, because sometimes there are no visible signs.
And you brought up a point that I wanted to remember to ask you as well. Is there a move or action plan towards highlighting, establishing better, litigation or legislative part of it to deal with social online bullying? How is that going for you?
Just like in other parts of the world, these are things that are quite new and are not too much in the legislation. So definitely, I think whenever there's time and space again for us to review the legislation that came into effect 9 years ago in terms of the Children Act and the Children's Authority Act, those are things that definitely needs to be highlighted a little bit more, because there's certain things that are not covered by the Act. And, you know, these are our legislations, they're old, and this is why we're in a process of now reviewing all of the legislation. So, you know, some things would have been missed, and when those legislation were developed some decades ago and then coming into effect, those things might have been overlooked. So definitely there is the movement forward where we are now highlighting these things much more, not just in Trinidad, but globally in terms of social development. This is one of the avenues that we're taking in terms of really looking at online things and online bullying and cyberbullying and things like that. Because not only do we need to see that reflected in our children's legislation, but also in the legislation of Trinidad and Tobago in terms of cyber crimes.
Because they've evolved. Yeah. We need to catch up.
They have.
Well, ladies, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today. Are there any last points you want to touch on before you go?
If I may, we have a lot of work to do at the Children's Authority. We do. And we don't shy away from coming to speak to persons. So we would like persons to know if you want us to come in and have a conversation with any of your groups, a faith-based group, a community-based group, PTAs, the PSGs, school, coming to talk to your children and all. You can reach out to us at info@ttchildren.org. That's info@ttchildren.org. Reach out to us. They tend to call persons from Investigation Interventions Unit. They call Krista. Because we are the ones on the ground, we will come out and we'll have that conversation. And don't think because it's a large group of children, different ages, we know how to deal with the little ones and we know how to deal with the big ones. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So that's actually been an initiative that we've taken over the course of this year. Yes. One of the main highlights of the work of the authority this year is that we have done so much outreach, so much work on the ground within communities, with parents, with children, with youth groups, with the police youth clubs as well. That was a major thing that we did over this year, and we're going to continue doing that into next year as we celebrate our 10 years.
Well, when that celebration starts, Freedom is well ready and able to, you know, have you celebrate with us.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Because I think more than anything else, the information needs to get out there. As you say, the beginning of the fight is having the knowledge.
Yes.
And being able to understand it. And yeah, to because we need positive change. Because at 10 o'clock, right? As you said at opening, that the state of the country is as a result of what we should have been doing all the time.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you so much, ladies.
But that we were not.
Yes.
Correct.
And I will say it again, TNT. I've said it over and over again. Social services need to be paid more attention.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But the truth is that, you know, we are not a money-making venture.
We are not.
Child protection, social services is not an income-producing sector. And unfortunately, that leaves us in a position where we quite often and quite always are under-resourced.
That's right.
Well, here's the word. Thank you so much, ladies. And yeah, TNT, if you have any other comments or you need information as to how to get onto the Children's Authority, one more time, could you just give out your info?
So yeah? It's info@ttchildren.org. Mm-hmm. And we have toll-free numbers. You don't need, you could have $0.00 on your phone and you will get through. It's 996 or 800-2014. Mm-hmm. Now, because of the number of calls that are coming in, you may not get through immediately. There is a callback feature that works, as well as you'll be given an option to send an email to our registry at ttchildren.org if you want to make a report. So we have many ways to get on to us.
All right, TNT, I hope that you made notes as well. All right?
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability, the all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.